Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm very thankful to God and the elders for the opportunity to preach here this morning. I come with much confidence in God's word and his spirit that he's going to speak to us. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 23 through 27. Again, that's Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Please open our eyes to see the hard truth of this text. Lord, we pray that you would convict us to see the seriousness of our sin and disobedience, to see the importance of Jesus' command here to die to ourselves, but also be reminded of the grace extended to us through your Son, Jesus. That the reminder and the truth that Christ has saved us from our sins would motivate us to obey. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was in middle school, one of the things that I really wanted to do was play baseball. The main reason for this was because I had some friends who were on this traveling team called the Scorpions. Besides having such a sweet team name, there was other perks to being a part of this team. They were able to leave class early to go to the games, and they also had these really cool blue jackets that said Scorpions on the back, where like the scorpion tail would make the last S. And I was just really excited about an opportunity to be a part of this team. I remember daydreaming of having that sweet jacket and walking through the halls of my middle school. But in order to play for this team, you'd have to start in the minor leagues. And I signed up. I went to the local town hall. I got my uniform. My mom and dad took me to the local sports store. I got my mitt and my bat. And I was so excited, I was ready. Then time came to play my first game. I remember stepping up to the plate, gripping my hands on my bat, sweating, seeing that ball come down, hitting the catcher's mitt, and just thinking, wow, that must have been 90 miles an hour. Suddenly, I didn't like baseball. I just liked the idea of baseball. And a couple games later, Trevor Thomas threw the ball and beamed me in the back. Beating you in the back means the ball was supposed to go to the catcher and instead hit me right directly here. Maybe I cried a little bit, but my baseball career was over. I realized at that moment, I really didn't care much for baseball. All I really wanted was the cool uniform and jacket. And unfortunately, some of us approach Jesus the same way. We tend to focus only on the things that Jesus will give us and either ignore or forget the sacrifices he asks of us. And for those who need a recap or were not here the last couple Sundays, let's take a little bit of a time aside and just get some review, get some context. In verses 18 through 20, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Christ of God, the Messiah." And then in verses 21 and 22, Jesus reveals what's going to happen to him. He says that he's going to suffer, die, and be raised on the third day. We have these two key foundational truths about the gospel: Christ and him crucified. The disciples were getting a crash course in some profound truths. Last week, Joe preached that God's revelation often conflicts with our expectation. We saw that the disciples had some mistaken expectations about the Messiah. They thought the Messiah was going to set up this earthly kingdom, and so it's likely that they probably expected that they would receive worldly glory and important roles. But Christ had not come to do that. He had come to die for sinners. And little did they know that they were going to follow him in rejection and death. Jesus corrects their expectations in this difficult passage this morning. And it could be easy to come to this passage and think of it as, oh, I know that one, it's familiar. But let me give you a friendly warning. Sometimes being familiar with a text could discourage curiosity. It can harden our hearts, can deafen our ears. Instead of thinking of this verse as familiar, use it as a reminder. Jesus is saying that in order to be his disciples, you need to deny yourself. Not only get rid of things in your life, but it also requires a daily death to self. And so the thing that I would love for you to get from this text today is that the cross Jesus commands us to take up requires his death and yours. The cross Jesus commands us to take up requires his death and yours. Let's take a look at verse 23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Jesus is saying, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to truly be a disciple of mine, you need to do these things. These things need to be evident in your life. Self-denial, taking up your cross daily, following me. And so in this sermon, we're going to focus mainly on verse 23 and these three evidences of a true disciple of Jesus. But then we're also going to look at verses 24 through 26, where Jesus explains why these things are important. So Jesus looked into the eyes of all who were listening, especially into the eyes of his disciples. And he says, if anyone is going to follow me, if anyone's going to be a disciple of mine, let him deny himself. Think about it. At this moment, the disciples are still having a hard time trying to digest the fact that Jesus just told them that he was going to suffer and be killed. They were expecting Jesus to set up this earthly kingdom where they would have high status and rewards. So imagine being Peter or John, hearing Jesus tell them, if you're truly going to follow after me, you must forget high status. Stop trying to figure out who is the greatest. You need to deny yourself. This is not what they had bargained for. What does this mean? What is Jesus asking of those who were to come after him? To not deny self means to forget oneself entirely. It's to reject any thought of doing what will please ourselves rather than God. Self is no longer in charge. God is. And we need to be reminded of the fact that we are just like the disciples in this passage. We set our minds on the things of man. We focus on ourselves. Jesus is saying, in denying ourselves, we must give up the longing to possess things. We need to give up our desire for power. We need to give up the favor of men, to give up seeking human glory. Of course, we're not talking about denying yourself a comfy bed or three meals a day, but the self-denial that Jesus is calling us to is a lot different than what we normally see in North American Christianity. The Heidelberg Catechism, a rich confession of faith from the 1500s, asks the question, what is your only comfort in life and death? Gives the answer, that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. In this helpful church document, we see that when we trust in Jesus for the salvation of our sins, we give up ourselves to him. This answer from the Heidelberg actually comes from Scripture. In Romans 14:7, it says, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." Brothers and sisters, we are not our own. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus. And so this idea of self-denial shouldn't be foreign to a Christian, because this is what it took to become a Christian. When we turned our back on any attempt trying to please God and instead receive by faith what God had done through Christ, that was self-denial. We denied ourselves. This is how our Christian life started, and it's how they should continue. But it's so easy to forget and try to live our lives by other standards. The radical nature of Jesus' words here expose a deep problem: our sin. We don't deny ourselves. We indulge and self-promote. We want and expect an easy life, and we're willing to pay for it. We've bought into the lie that Christianity exists to enhance our lives, enhance our marriages, our bank accounts, and status. This is a hard word for the disciples in this passage, and it's a hard word for us today. Are you willing to surrender your hopes and your dreams in order to obey Jesus? To deny yourself trust? To deny your self-confidence, your self-sufficiency. And so let's look back at verse 23. Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." All those gathered listening to Jesus, this statement would have been the most shocking. The second they heard the word cross, it would immediately trigger something in their minds of a Roman execution, where someone would actually carry the cross to their humiliation and death. The meaning of this saying was probably understood that those who were to follow after Jesus should expect death. Taking up the cross would have meant hatred from the world, sacrifice, suffering, and even death. To take up one's cross was to go out and die. We often use the phrase, "This is my cross to bear," for maybe a difficult mother-in-law, hardships, sickness, troubles with friends or family. But this is not what Christ meant when he said, "Take up your cross daily." Listen up. Your cross is not your undisciplined child. Your cross is not your taxes. Your cross is not your unemployment. And I'm preaching to myself right now, because Diane and I have struggled to be able to have a child. But my cross is not my inability to have children. In Jesus' day, the cross was a symbol of death. It meant execution. So crosses are not burdens. They're instruments of death. Jesus is calling his disciples to the death of themselves, the most radical form of self-denial. It's important for us to focus on the words that Jesus is saying here. He says, "Take up his cross daily." He doesn't say the cross is going to be laid on you. This is an action. This is a verb, to take up the cross. Don't avoid it. Accept it and take it up. And he also says, to take up his cross daily. You're not to take up your cross once, sometimes. Jesus commands us to take up our crosses daily. It's not something that happens at the beginning of a Christian life or an occasional sacrifice made along the way. It's an everyday living. What Jesus is calling us to do here is to take on the name Christian, to openly identify ourselves with Jesus and be ready to bear the suffering that we get from the world, to share in Christ's suffering. So if Christ was hated, then we must expect hatred from the world if we identify with Jesus. Every day, we must live in a way that shows that we have died to ourselves and live to God. Like Christ, all followers will experience a cross. Those in the past and some in the present have experienced martyrdom, but not all. But all of us will experience some sort of consequence for following Jesus. And this is not an isolated truth. We find this all throughout Scripture. In Luke 14, Jesus again repeats himself. Starting in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then later on in verse 33, he says, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Christ is telling his disciples to count the cost. He says, you cannot be my disciple unless I come first. You cannot be Christ's disciple unless you bear your own cross. You cannot be Christ's disciple unless you renounce all. You must deny yourselves and take up the cross, renouncing all privileges, all sins, and all material possessions that would hinder your allegiance to him. Anything less is superficial. So does your Christianity cost you anything? Is it costing you your life? Let's look back at verse 23. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. To follow him means to follow him in his obedience to the Father and in his example of self-denial and taking up his cross. But friends, Jesus isn't saying, deny yourselves and I will save you. He's not saying, I will love you if you deny yourselves. He is saying, because I've saved you by grace, deny yourselves, take up your cross daily, and follow me. He's talking about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts by grace. And this charge isn't just for the 12 disciples here. It's for every single one of us. And now let's look at verses 24 through 26, where Jesus gives three arguments about the importance of dying to self. In verse 24, he says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." He says those who save their lives, meaning to self-preserve and live their lives for themselves. People who believe that satisfaction and security are in their own hands. Those who organize their lives around their own entertainment and pleasure, who are not willing to suffer for Christ's sake. You will lose your lives. Jesus isn't talking about our physical lives, but he's talking about our spiritual lives. Those who seek their own interests will never find satisfaction. Those who are selfish, focused on the present and temporal, you won't receive eternal life. you will suffer a judgment in hell. R.C. Sproul, the late founder of Ligonier Ministries, wrote, "Yet that price is paid day in and day out by countless multitudes of people who will exchange their birthright of heaven for a moment's pleasure, for more status, for more power, more money, or whatever. I'm not opposed to money or the things that money can buy, but if that's the main pursuit of my life and it costs me my soul, that's foolish business." But Jesus says here in verse 24, "But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Those who give up their self-centered lives for the sake of Jesus and deny themselves, they will save their lives. Jesus is making the point that the only true, lasting life that brings about happiness is when we lose our lives for Jesus, when we die to ourselves. And then Jesus makes his second argument in verse 25, where he asks the rhetorical question, "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Jesus takes the person in verse 24 who wanted to self-preserve and puts them in the best situation possible. So assume, for the sake of argument, you could possess the whole world, all that your passions hunger for, all that your eyes desire. What would it profit you if you forfeited your eternal soul? The obvious answer is nothing. Nothing in the world can compare to the value of a person's eternal soul. So if you want independence, acceptance of the world, the fleeting pleasures, then your life will be lost because you refuse to submit to God's way. This reminds me of Ecclesiastes 2, 9 through 11, where King Solomon writes, "So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun." Solomon had it all. He had greatness, he had fame, he had recognition, pleasure, accomplishments, whatever his eyes desired, and he looked back on it all and said, "This is vanity. It's like vapor, here today, but gone tomorrow." Temporal. And the scary reality for those living in Jesus' time, and the scary reality for us, is the fact that life's comforts and the threats of losing them might keep someone from coming to Jesus. Many people are willing to turn away from Christ in order to stay in a relationship or hold on to a sin or even stay in a career path. So what is it that you're pushing so hard to accomplish or acquire? Is it truly important, or is it something merely to gratify your ego or impress others? Because experiencing the judgment of God is far too great a price to pay for possessing the whole world. Think about it this way. There's this interesting idea that the meaning of life is in possessions, in money, in accomplishments. But then it loses its all credibility the second you enter an emergency room or a funeral parlor. Jesus is emphasizing that the giving up of ourselves to him and following him is most important, because that's where true life is found. Think of Moses as he's described in Hebrews 11. "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Moses understood self-denial. And Jesus, in Luke 4, it says, "And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Satan tempted Jesus of gaining the whole world, and Jesus denied. Again, Jesus is saying the only way to gain true lasting life is to deny yourself. And now let's look back again to Luke 23. We're going to see Jesus' third and last argument in verse 26. He says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Those who are ashamed of Christ and his words, who refuse to deny themselves, they will suffer great loss. Because when it mentions in here that Jesus or the Son of Man comes in glory, that also means judgment. The Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes to judge. But those who deny themselves, who follow Christ and are not ashamed of him and his words, instead of facing judgment, they will receive glory. There is an eternal reward for those who come after Christ and deny themselves. So in light of all that we've heard, we have to admit what Jesus is saying in this passage is hard. We have to be honest that we fail at self-denial. We fail at taking up our cross daily. We fail at following Christ. J.C. Ryle, a preacher from the 1800s, wrote, "I grant freely that it costs little to be a mere outward Christian. A man has only got to attend a place of worship twice on Sunday." Keep in mind, we only attend once. "So a man of God has only got to attend a place of worship twice on Sunday and to be tolerably moral during the week, and he has gone as far as thousands will ever go in religion. All this is cheap and easy work. It entails no self-denial or self-sacrifice. If this is saving Christianity and will take us to heaven when we die, we must alter the description of the way of life and write, 'Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to heaven.'" Ryle hits the nail on the head. We don't get it. We don't deny ourselves, and we only make time for God when we have time for him. We hesitate to let people know that we're Christian. We're timid to defend the faith. We're afraid to read our Bibles or even pray in public. Jesus says that if anyone who is ashamed of him and his words, he will be ashamed of them. This is a sad reality, and it's a reality for myself as well. But do we even read his word? How can we be ashamed of him if we don't even read his word? Well, maybe that is being ashamed of his word. How can we deny ourselves, take up our crosses daily, and follow Jesus if we don't even read the word that he's given us? This is not the Christian life. Disciples are not to use their lives on this earth for their own pleasure, but they should spend their lives serving God and people. And as Jesus went to his cross, unashamed to die for our sins, the disciples were ashamed. Judas, who was in the room as Jesus was giving this command to deny himself, denied Jesus and betrayed him. The others fled. Rather than denying themselves, Peter denied Jesus three times. Rather than taking up their crosses, they left Jesus to die alone on a cross. And if it were up to us, we would do the same thing. And even though we're imperfect disciples, we do not deny ourselves like we should. We don't die to self. We love self. We self-promote. We focus on the temporal rather than the eternal. And we are often ashamed of Christ and his words. He still meets us with grace. Self-denial does not save you. Jesus does. Jesus is aware of our brokenness and sin. And this is why this passage actually is after his foretelling of his death. He was the one who suffered. He's the one who was rejected and killed in order to accomplish salvation for us so that we could receive grace and mercy in the midst of our failure to follow him. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Only Jesus. So lives lived as disciples of Christ, lives lived in obedience to him, are to flow not out of any way of trying to earn anything, but in response to what he's done. He is our great Savior and our great example. So I hope now you have an understanding of how the cross Jesus commands us to take up requires his death and yours. He needed to die in order to save you, but also enable you to die to yourselves. In light of all that Jesus has done, we should be motivated to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily and follow him, to lose our lives for his sake and to not be ashamed of him and his words. Sinclair Ferguson says, "The thing about Jesus, the glorious thing about him, is that you never find what he gives until you're prepared to lose what you most want to keep." Jesus is worth following. If you count the cost is great, but it's worth it. So to the unbeliever here, see the heart of Jesus. It's a difficult thing to hear. That you need to deny yourself. That's difficult for us as Christians. But don't miss the grace. Jesus isn't saying you're going to be left out, you have no hope. Jesus in this passage says, if anyone would come after me, if anyone. And he also says in verse 25, whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. There's still time to come to Christ, to deny yourself and experience the joy that it is being a follower of God. And to my brothers and sisters, day by day, moment by moment, we're going to be faced with a lot of choices. And our natural tendency is to gratify ourselves. But God's call is to die to those desires. This passage should bring us to a more desperate dependence on God. Christ requires, but also enables the believer to die to self. And I want to give you three helpful points of application before we end today. As you trust in God to help you take up your cross and die to self. So the first being simply confess your sin and disobedience of not denying yourself. Confess your sin and disobedience of not denying yourself. And the second, spend time in God's word. You're not magically going to know what needs to change in your life. You're going to need help. Spend time in his word, deepen your understanding, to learn, to follow, to obey, to not be ashamed of Christ and his words. And the third is to look to Christ. How are we to learn to deny and put to death our own plans and self-interests? Hebrews 12:2 tells us to look to Jesus, who's the founder and perfecter of our faith. He is the supreme example of self-denial. And in Philippians 2:5-8, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The thing he asks of us are the things that he's done himself and done perfectly. Jesus denied himself. When Jesus became a man, he denied himself the glories of heaven. When Jesus fulfilled the law, he denied himself the pleasures of sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, he denied himself the protection from pain, both physical and spiritual. He experienced excruciating pain being nailed to a cross, but also being forsaken by the Father. Jesus truly denied himself. He freely gave up his life to save you, to enable you to die to self and live for him.